Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. How you feeling today, Al?
A little sore.
From?
Went back out there again.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
How'd it go?
I'm not sore from that. I also went to the gym. I mean, I'm just,
You're like an Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just...
Pickleball, gym session.
Let me do a set of push-ups right now.
Did you run to work today? Ride your bike into the office?
All right, but the way you put... Because of pickleball... You can get sore just based off of your left and right and just
notice
like just
there's no judgment in my face at all. None. Not an ounce.
All right, so here's what happened. I told Lady Slee, I'm like, I told her this a couple days ago. I'm like, hey, you want to play one of these days? It's close by. And she's like, sure. Yeah, I want to play. So I asked Berg yesterday, but we weren't sure if we're going to play yesterday. I said, Berg, hey, can I use one of your paddles? I want to go to Target and go buy another paddle here. I mean, I don't need another paddle.
I envision you like 6 months down the road. Your like entire garage is filled with pickleball equipment.
I know. So there I am with a corporate Greg paddle down at the down in Pasadena. But we went and played. And her and I only played one game just so she could kind of get.
Is she athletic?
She is, but most of the stuff she does is like Pilates and stuff like that. So she's not out there sprinting left and right. I'm not either.
Did she play softball or tennis or anything?
She played a little bit of tennis.
Okay.
Yeah. She played soccer too.
Okay.
So there's your.
So she's got some.
She's got. So she's in the ball back and forth. And then she's like, "All right, I think I'm done."
I really hope this story ends with her kicking your ass in pickleball.
I beat her. You know, and it wasn't because I beat her because I know what the hell I'm doing. It's because it's the first time she's ever played. I'm just sending the ball back and forth. But anyways, she's done. So now it's the – I don't think it's like this at your court where you put your paddles there, and if there's two, now there's two more open, whatever it is. So there was three. They're waiting for one. Bam, I put mine. Now I'm playing with three strangers. We lost 13-11.
You just – this is terrific. I love this, that you have got the bug to the point where you're just throwing your paddle into the mix, playing with strangers. Are you getting better?
Getting better.
Good.
Yeah, I'm getting better. I still got a lot to learn. Scoring, forget about it. Done.
Really?
Easy. No, easy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, that's really surprising.
The problem on that, no.
Yeah, once
scoring
you know it,
is, you're
you know
fine.
Did you stay out of the kitchen?
Stayed out of the kitchen for the most part. It's just kind of learning when to come up, when to go back. And pretty much the guy that I was playing with, older guy, obviously knew what he was doing. Pretty much he's like, go up to the net. You got to go up to the net. Go up to the go up right in front of that line of the kitchen.
Yep, that seems to be the trick.
So it's actually kind of helpful to play with people that have played, because I haven't done that. All I've played so far is with Jorge, DeAndre.
Who? I don't know that guy.
DeAndre, you and him don't have the best relationship right now.
Never heard of him.
But played another full game, and then today I'm going to play again, and then you and I are going to play on Monday. This is kind of getting ridiculous. This is a lot of pickleball.
Headbands, goggles, knee pads, like the whole thing. You're going to be like Jim Carrey and the Cable Guy when he shows up to play pickup basketball. You're going to have the entire gear ready to go. I'm excited.
If it's the same people that were there yesterday, now I'm going to get a little. It's going to get a little awkward.
You guys are going to trade numbers. Like, hey, you just want to make it a kind of a standing thing on Wednesdays at like 4 o'clock? We'll just come on. I'll come out here and play a little bit.
I will tell you
this. I'll text you the time.
Bro, there's some ringers out there.
Of course there are.
There's some ringers out there. And you know the beauty with the sport is age really kind of doesn't matter.
I think you're right.
To an extent.
I think you're right.
But I could see young 25-year-olds getting ran by 55-year-olds. No question about it. I see that the entire time yesterday. The good thing is when we go play, because now that's the first time I played around that 2 o'clock-ish.
Yep.
We're good.
Good.
There's going to be no waiting, nothing.
I'm looking forward to playing. Michael's got a game today, so I'm going to have to miss it today. Michael had a game yesterday, did not go great. So hopefully today is a better result for the Dolphins, but we'll see. You never know. Hopefully today's their day.
How loud were you shouting from the?
Pretty quiet
from the bench. No, I'm
pretty quiet. Occasionally, I will see something that makes me react, but it's in the moment. Like if I see a balk, or if I see like a really
awesome. Out of all of them, a balk.
Well, no, but it's one of those things that when you, as a baseball,
like a natural reaction,
as a baseball person, when you see it, your reaction is to yell, "That's a balk!" right? Like, it just is, because it's they're subtle, but if you know what you're looking at, it's very, very obvious. And there was one yesterday, and oddly, I yelled it out for our team. It's just my brain just kicked in, and I think I didn't yell it very loudly, but I went, "That's a balk." And it was, didn't get called, but it was. I felt pretty good about it. And then there's the egregious call where you'll go, "Oh, God." And then Susan will give me a little elbow. It's like, "Will you be quiet?"
Well, I love that, because that's such a baseball person.
Yeah.
You're not complaining about, come on, that's right down the middle.
No.
You're not complaining about, are you kidding me? I saw the chalk come up. That's a no. Fair ball.
Right.
This guy said, "That's a balk."
It is. It bothered me. He was on the rubber, and he's standing there. His foot is—he's on the rubber. The runners have taken their lead.
Yeah.
And he takes—he's a right-handed pitcher, and he's got the ball in his hand, and he wanted the catcher to re-give the signal, and he turns around to he just looks at the catcher and goes like this with the ball. That's a balk. And then the umpire didn't know. It bothered me. It's like that, come on,
can
man.
Can I give you the equivalent? The equivalent is. One day when I got my kid playing some basketball, I'm going to yell, "That's illegal defense."
Yes.
That's what it's going to be. And 90% of the people there are going to be like, "What do you mean it's illegal defense?" Well, here's what it is. If you're 3 seconds and within arm's length, I just love that. I love that it was the balk.
There was a game when I drove to Elsinore, same situation, a left-handed pitcher. I've never seen a worse balk ever in my life. Okay, he basically was doing jumping jacks on the mound. It was egregious, and I yelled out. I'm like, "That's not even close," And one of the mothers on our team turned around and looked at me and said, "Like, I've never heard you say anything before. Like, what happened?" Like, because she didn't know what it was. I'm like, "I'm sorry." She goes, "No, I just have never heard you say anything before. That was a new one for me." And I said it kind of loud.
Okay, so you've gone through Bobby,
yeah,
Kelly, and now Michael.
Mm-hmm.
All of them played sports.
Yeah.
And I could see you, your personality, you're not going to make too much noise. I can only imagine through all three of your kids, the type of parents from when you...
You get a little bit of everything. Susan yells at referees in volleyball.
What'd she say?
She that's a double. That's a two. You can't do... Touch. She's under the net. She's yelling at him the whole time.
Do you
time.
Have to give her the...
There's one where I don't give her the elbow. I just very quietly put my hand on her knee and kind of like squeeze it a little bit, like, "You're being kind of loud," right? There's one where
she's like, "Don't touch me."
The ref, Kelly's a setter. They called Kelly for a double, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, where the ball hits your hand, yep, twice. And Susan did not like... And it was during COVID, so there were only a handful of people in the gym.
And you hear everything.
You hear everything. And she goes, "What? No!" And Kelly turns to look, and she sees my hand go to Susan's leg to like kind of give her a little squeeze, and Kelly starts laughing on the court. Like, "Mom, take it easy." And she thought it was funny that I was trying to
chill her out a little bit. Parents thing.
It's awesome.
And I don't know enough about it, right? But the whole parents watching their kids play. I mean, I imagine through all your kids, you've seen some crazy parents that hallucinate.
Basketball parents are the worst. They're the most vocal. They're traveling, foul. What are you doing? That whole thing. Baseball parents are probably a close second. Then everything else. Like, track, what are you going to yell? Hey, no, you shaved a tenth of a second off of his time. Nothing. There's nothing to yell in track.
Nothing to yell.
Soccer, you know, it's just soccer.
I did swimming, and there's not really a lot of debate
there. You either you touch the wall when you touch the wall. Yeah. Your time
there's
is
only,
your
like,
time.
There's only DQs, because you can get disqualified for certain things, and that's where parents can get mad about stuff. But it's a lot of parents that, like, so at swimming, there's parents will, like, whistle super loud every time their swimmer, like, brings their head up so like they hear it. That's the most annoying part.
Yeah. It's like the Vandy Whistler, college baseball.
Just love that's a balk.
I like you screaming at the referee during our pickleball tournament, which is coming up on March 18th, a week from Saturday, 10 to 4, Agape Pickleball Center at Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley. Reserve seating is available. You can register for that at ESPNLA.com. The event is open to the general public. Come on out. Hang out with us. You can have a drink. We can talk about whatever it is we want to talk about. Get to know each other a little bit. It'll be awesome. Thanks to Bud Light Seltzer Michelob Ultra, and Pizza Hut. Of course, we'll have all the TVs to watch the games. There's food, there's drink, there's a DJ, there's a kid zone. You'll have a great time. Come on out, hang out with us March 18th, 10 to 4 at Mile Square Park in Fountain Valley.
Getting three runs in over the course of 1 week.
Here's the thing.
I went yesterday, I'm going today, and then you and I are going to go again on Monday. And that's not counting if I get an itch on Saturday when the Lakers don't have a game and decide to jog over to the courts.
Just run on out there. So here's the thing. When we played softball, you and I were on opposite teams, but I knew I was going to hold my own in softball. I didn't think I would hit much, but I can play catch. I can field a ground ball. I wasn't going to embarrass myself in softball. I was going to be fine. You're going to have to do the heavy lifting with pickleball. I am really limited in what I'm going to bring to team Thick Van Exel. Thick Van Exel is going to be a one-man show.
So just so you understand, it's basically like yesterday was the second time I've ever played, and what you just said about me having to carry the team, I love that the second time I've ever played, it's like, you're good now.
But you, I think, are going to be able to cover more court. You're going to be quicker. You're going to be all of those things.
Yeah,
you're going to have to. You're going to have to do the lion's share of the work. I don't want there to be any surprises when we get there. And you're like, Trav, you're not doing anything. I'm telling you right now, I'm not doing anything. Okay, if it's hit to me, I will hit it back. Beyond that, you're kind of on your own. That's where
Fair.
I check out.
Fair.
Okay, you're younger than I am. You're in better shape than I am. You've played about the same amount of pickleball as I have.
Getting
right
close.
Now. It's getting close. So I have high expectations for you along the way. I got a theory, Slee.
Okay.
That do we agree that the universe, when it, you know, good breaks and bad breaks, they kind of even out over the course of time. That you're going to get as many good ones as bad ones.
Yes.
Okay.
It might look like it's, oh my gosh, the rain is pouring right now, and then another day you walk outside, it's beautiful and sunny.
You're going to get a lot of good ones. You're going to get a lot of bad ones, and the Lakers might finally be on the right side of some of this stuff. That's coming up next. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So you got me all fired up again. We were talking about it during the break.
That's awesome. That's great.
Can't do that. I'd like to point
you
out
you stood
again,
up.
It was again, Michael's
said, look,
team
there's a guy on second
committed
third,
the infraction.
And you were became the pitcher. You
yes,
did the whole thing.
First was, and second, not second and third.
I had two runners in scoring position.
I didn't yell it out fully. It was like I choked it off halfway down because I realized it was Michael's team. I went, buck! And I turned to Susan. I'm like, it was a buck. How did they miss that? Like does that guy not know the rules? Here's my objection, and then I'm gonna move on. You've aggravated me without trying to do it. You're done. I don't like officials, referees, umpires, whatever, linesmen, who don't know the rules. I'm okay with making a mistake. You call a pitch that's off the plate a ball, it's going to happen a bunch. It's fine.
Yeah.
You call a guy safe that's actually out, it's going to happen. A ball that's fair, that's foul, it's going to happen. You got to know the blanking rules. You can't, like in basketball, if a guy just, basket get made, guy takes it out of bounds, if he just starts dribbling the ball up the court, you can't do that. You have to inbound the ball to the other guy on your team. And if it happens, you just go, eh. You got to know the rules, and that's box, and it bothers me, and it's never going to not bother me.
Do you know where this just got me in Big Lebowski, where Walter says, this isn't NOM, there are rules. This is bowling, there are rules.
There are rules, right? Imagine if when you're bowling,
over the line.
You go over the line, and everybody just goes, eh. There's a rule, and you got to follow the rules. That's
Walter,
the way
let it go.
That it goes. I probably should, I just can't. You know,
no, don't let it go.
I'm fully aware that it's ridiculous. I know that this is a ridiculous reaction to something that, in the grand scheme of things,
but it's,
doesn't
you know
matter.
You say this. You know how you say something. You're like, that's perfectly on brand.
Yes.
That is perfectly on brand. That is perfectly on brand right there.
I like people to know the rules. Or don't be an umpire. Right? Like, I understand you're getting your $75 a game or whatever it is. I understand that there's a financial incentive. Can we just flip through that book before you walk out there and put on the mask?
You even You even said, no, it's just, if a guy's inbounding the ball, you can't just walk on the floor. You right? can't do that.
Would that ball, if you're watching that, you saw, you'd be like, well, they can't do that.
Yeah, of course I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that one's more blatant. Yours is.
No, it's not. It's exactly the same thing. That is as blatant.
Yeah, but what
if
I'm saying.
If you know the rules, what I'm saying, it's just as blatant.
It's a little bit more inside baseball than somebody just walking right on. That's great. I mean, your reaction to that.
Why not just give them 4 points for a free throw? Let's just make it up as we go along.
I see we got to that. You kept saying that parents get angry.
Yeah, they do. They get a little worked up. Kevin Durant turned his ankle yesterday during pregame. Just kind of doing an individual workout, yeah, and so there is a video out there. And he went up for like a layup or a short shot and landed weird and twisted his ankle. The Suns fear it may be severe enough to keep him out for the remainder of the regular season, that it may keep him out for the early part of the playoffs. It sucks that one of the best players in the league is going to miss time. But look, there are the effects of that are the very best player in the Western Conference, arguably, is now going to be unavailable for a team that was probably maybe not the favorite as far as number one seed. I don't think anybody was dying to play the Phoenix Suns with Kevin Durant, and now they might not have to. The Lakers have had nothing but bad luck, seemingly, on the health front for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Bad luck personnel, bad luck with injuries. Now Luka has a thigh thing that he says is something. KD twists his ankle yesterday during the warmups. You'd like everybody to be healthy, but if they're not, these particular injuries could be incredibly beneficial to the Lakers.
So let me just kind of explain the Western Conference. Before KD got traded to the Phoenix Suns, there was a lot of excitement in the West because you're like, I don't know who's going to come out. You got 6-7 teams that could come out of the Western Conference. Then KD got traded to Phoenix, and it was like, all right, well, looks like everything's going to go through the Phoenix Suns. So I don't think you're being dramatic when you say that this KD, which I did not realize was that bad. I saw it yesterday, too. Didn't end up playing in the game. He actually even dunked, maybe trying to convince himself that he was okay, that he was fine. I guess it's just going to come down to if it's a grade 2 ankle sprain.
Yep.
This is Greg Moore of the Arizona Republic.
4 to 6 weeks if it is diagnosed as a grade 2, according to that particular reporter. And you got to be extra cautious because I think, did we mention this yesterday? Kevin Durant is really oddly unique in the sense that he can just show up after extended absences and look like he played the day before.
Yeah, you mentioned that yesterday.
Right, that he's oddly just, is he back? Yeah, okay, it just looks like he's been here
forever.
There's
31.
and not
with
only...
With different teammates.
That's exactly it. It's not just the 31. I've never played with you before, but it seems like we've been playing together for 5 years. Like, he's incredibly malleable. He fits in right away, and he's awesome. So, if you're the Suns, wouldn't you be, because look, if I'm Phoenix, if I'm the 2, I don't care. If I'm the 7, I don't care. I just need to be, and they're not going to fall out of the top 6 because you still have Booker, you still have Paul, you still have Ayton.
They should be able to hold you in the top
for
6.
For sure. So they're not going to fall out to where, hey, one bad night and we're knocked out. Aren't you going to be remarkably cautious with him? And now all of a sudden the Lakers, and not just the Lakers, but the West of the rest of the West feels like what felt inevitable, that you're going to have to go through the Suns at some point, feels far more manageable. Because Denver for the Lakers, LeBron James comes back against the Denver Nuggets in a 7-game series. Are they the favorites? No. Can they win? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can. So if the Suns are out, if somebody gets them, if KD's unavailable, whether it's the Lakers or anybody else, the whole thing opens up like a clam at that point.
It's not KD with the Golden State Warriors. It's not that, where it was like, okay, this is just a matter of time. They're going to win the NBA championship. But if you said pick one team out of the Western Conference and KD is there, I think a lot of teams are going to pick Phoenix. So I think the point that you're trying to make is ultimately what this does is before KD got traded to the Suns, it was a wide open field. It's back to a wide open field until he comes back. And even when he comes back, How many games has he played with the Suns?
Feels like three or four games. Yeah.
That was going to be his home opener. That was the first game that they were going to play where he was actually on the floor. He's been there for other games, but he wasn't playing yet. He was still coming back from his injury. It's fascinating. Listen, I think, are there question marks? Sacramento Kings haven't made the playoffs since 2006, so none of these guys have this great experience. You could say, oh, well, Mike
Just
Brown.
Harrison Barnes, right?
Harrison Barnes, and you could say that.
Harrison Barnes.
And how long ago was that?
Right.
That was...
He wasn't carrying the load like Steph Curry or LeBron James.
Okay, so Sacramento doesn't have the experience.
Right.
The Memphis Grizzlies are a little bit all over the place.
You think?
Okay, so let's...
By the way, you see they say Ja's going to miss at least four more games?
So at least four more, but I think it's going to go to where...
It might. It might.
I have a feeling that there won't be enough evidence, and maybe it is just kind of left alone. Memphis, I don't think anybody... We don't know what the Memphis Grizzlies are. Kind of go down the list. Golden State's been incredibly inconsistent. The Clippers, incredibly inconsistent. The Timberwolves, Karl-Anthony Towns has to be there. Dallas, you mentioned Luka, and since that Luka-Kyrie trade, I don't know what they're going to get every single night, right? New Orleans, are they going to get Zion back? How many question marks does every team have? By the way, Lakers are the same thing. Is Bron coming back? Is he not coming back? The Lakers, you could at least make a case. Go look at their last 10.
Yeah.
They're at least playing some good basketball right now.
The Lakers have questions, no doubt about it. But their questions seem more answerable than some of these other teams that, to your point, they've won 7 of their last 10 games. I'm kidding. Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis, if you're driving right now, hit
your dashboard.
Yes.
Anthony Davis has been terrific. Not good, not great, terrific.
Terrific,
right?
Yeah.
And hopefully he continues to be. Their supporting cast is capable. Which is, I think, what everybody's supporting cast is, right? Is capable. That's what you want.
They weren't capable before the trade deadline.
They weren't.
They are now capable.
They are now. D'Angelo Russell, when he comes back, hopefully sooner than later, is a good NBA player. Not a great one. He's a good NBA player, right? He'll knock down some threes. He can get hot. He can carry you for a quarter or whatever it is.
He's not a star. He's also not a role player. He's in between.
The answers to everybody's questions, the Lakers, and again, 90% of this is predicated on LeBron coming back and being ready to go. But we were talking about, look, if they can stay in it, maybe he can kind of muscle through it. Well, he needs to probably start thinking about muscling through it, right? Because they're going to be in it, and not just in it. Denver Nuggets are the number one seed. Is anybody just saying, just put them in the finals? No.
No, nobody is.
Nobody is.
Good team, but nobody's saying what you just said.
But it's not like when you look at the East is going to be Boston, Philly, or Milwaukee, right? It's going to be one of those three teams, and probably Boston or Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's your Eastern Conference finals.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. I don't know what the West is going to look like. You could, of the 8-9 teams in the mix, Nuggets are probably the most likely, but they're not an automatic. Mm-hmm. The Suns with Kevin Durant, close to an automatic. The rest of it, it's wide open.
So you mentioned something about Bron might need to be preparing to come back. Remember, what was it last week? They said they're going to reevaluate him in 3 weeks. Let's put it this way. If Bron's not able to come back in the regular season, and let's say the Lakers are in the hunt, and he's not able to come back in the regular season, that means Bron literally has an injury that
he's hurt.
The guy plays through a lot of you-know-what.
Yep.
Okay? So, but if he's able to come back, and let's say he's 80% of LeBron James, that's a problem for a lot of teams. Now all of a sudden, an 80% LeBron James going into the play-in tournament, Anthony Davis kind of being the foundation, you could call, everything kind of run through. They haven't had D'Angelo got traded to the Lakers. He's played in, I think, 3 games so far. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't even been there. And they still have kind of found a way to beat the Warriors, by the way, 3 times in the course of 3 weeks they beat the Warriors. I know Steph wasn't there for 2. They beat a lot of teams that were in front of them, hanging around them. That's impressive.
You know I believe in the gods. I believe that every sport has their set of gods. There's pickleball gods, by the way.
Do you know why I know you believe in the gods? Because you still believe in them, even after the Astros won again.
I believe in them, and sometimes they're vengeful, and every once in a while, they're magnanimous. I do believe that they like to keep an even ledger. I do believe that they're going to give you a few, and they're going to take away the exact same amount. Okay? Now, you got to look at it over the long haul. The Lakers have had some really bad luck. And I'm not even doing a bit here. I really believe that they're due for some good luck.
Mm-hmm.
They've been. Anthony Davis has had health issues. LeBron has had health issues. The Russell Westbrook thing doesn't work. Like, there's a lot of things
going. Doesn't usually just keep going bad.
It just you don't make 50 mistakes in a row. Some of them are going to work out, and it feels like it's time for some of this stuff to work out. The trade deadline kind of worked out.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis kind of working out. LeBron James scheduled to come back at some point towards the end of the season. That's a good break. Some of the other top contenders losing some of their most important. Like these, the breaks are starting to even out a little bit, and they don't need a ton of breaks to be right back in the mix. They just need a couple, and they're getting them.
Well, and if Bron were in a perfect world, Bron feels good in a couple weeks. Okay, even if it's 3 weeks from today, and there's only 1 week left in the NBA regular season, hypothetically. And he feels good and he comes back. Bron will have had a month off to just kind of get his body right for the best part, right? Like when's the last time that's happened to Bron?
The bubble.
In his career? Yeah, the bubble. The bubble.
He was pretty good in the bubble.
Yep.
He was.
That's the last time it happened. That's the last time it happened.
Worked out. Maybe this would be what would be ideal.
He's carried so much during the regular season that the fact that he could potentially have this. I mean, it's not ideal. I'm sure he wishes he was out there, but just for his body to recuperate for a second.
Adam Silver and people that hate this will want to put their head through the desk. Fact of the matter is, the ideal scenario, not for the league, not for TV, not for companies like TNT and ESPN, the ideal scenario is for the Lakers to be good enough to shut LeBron James and Anthony Davis down for a period of time. So when it comes playoff time, you smash the gas. That you're ready to go. Now, the Lakers don't have the luxury right that because they got off to the bad start that they did. But I'm telling you, if you believe in the gods and you believe in, you know, for every line drive you hit at the shortstop, you get a little bleeder over the second baseman's head. They're due for a couple of bleeders over the second baseman's head, and it's starting to happen. It's exciting.
Let's all do a quick Our Father.
My guys don't respond to that. Mine more is just ignore them and hope that they give you a few along the way. Some interesting Rams news that just got tweeted about. I've heard whispers, little rumblings, and now it's starting to bumble up a little bit. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, unfortunately, I will not be here tomorrow to.
You're going to Catalina, right?
I'm going to Catalina tomorrow.
Buffalo?
Can't
see my
wait.
Buffalo.
We're going to have a great time out there.
It's
you and
rain.
Taylor hold it down.
You're going to Catalina too?
Yeah. I haven't told
best
her.
Friends. But you're actually staying in the hotel with us too, right? Yeah.
Grabbing the couch. Why not a couch in the hotel?
Why not?
Yeah. But it's supposed to rain tomorrow, which sucks too. But,
ooh.
But since I won't be here tomorrow, I want to kind of do my little Oscar spiel throughout the show today. So the Oscars are on Sunday. They're going to start at 5 p.m. on the Pacific time on ABC. So if you're watching it, you can watch there. But I think it might be funny if we all give our predictions for who might win these big categories. And I know you guys are super big cinephiles. You've seen everything on the list. You know everybody back and forward. So we're going to start off with the Best Supporting Actress nominees.
Wow, that's easy.
So they are Angela Bassett for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Carrie Condon for The Banshees of Inisherin, Jamie Lee Curtis for Everything Everywhere All at Once, Stephanie Hsu also for Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Hung Chow for The Whale. So I'm going to start with Taylor. Who do you think is going to win this category?
Oh, this is easy. Stephanie Hsu, okay. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Good choice. All right, Trav.
I don't know you guys. I was barely alive when this happened, but Steve Garvey was nominated to become the starting first baseman for the National League at the All-Star Game in 1974, despite not appearing on the ballot. Wasn't on the ballot. It's literally a literal write-in campaign.
So you going Steve Garvey on this one?
I am going Jennifer Connelly to win Best Supporting Actor or Actress, I should say, for her role in Top Gun Maverick.
So you're writing that one in?
Right. I'm assuming everybody is.
I thought you were going to say like Jenna Fisher for something.
Was she in anything? If she is, I'd like to reconsider my vote. If she's not, I stick with Jennifer Connelly.
All right, Al?
So just so we both don't take the same person, because I was also Stephanie as well, Taylor, on this one.
Go for it.
But you're same as
me. I'm going to go Jamie Lee Curtis in. I'm going to go Jamie Lee Curtis on that one. Okay. Of course, Everything Everywhere All at Once. By the way, badass movie. I mean, I know.
You've seen it?
Yeah, remember, I think I told you this a while back.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
Fantastic movie. And I'm not kidding when I say that. It's a really, really good movie.
Best
I don't think
I've seen
either
in years.
Of them will watch it, but I'll go with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, so Everything Ever All at Once, I have seen it 6 times. I have seen that movie 6 times. I'll watch it with anybody who wants to watch it. I love that movie so much, and it's, you know, it's how I choose
There's
to spend my time,
There's a special screening
guys.
In Catalina. That's why she's going to.
Don't worry. My friend who I'm going there with, I made her watch it, so it's fine.
Wait, real quick, before we move on, how do you make somebody watch something?
Okay, so I asked her what movie she wanted.
Clockwork Orange, man.
I asked her what movie she wanted to watch, and she said, I haven't seen XYZ movies. And I was like, why don't we watch Everything All at Once, because you haven't seen it yet, and then we watched it. So I guess I didn't make her watch it.
You suggested it.
She
good movie. I could watch it for a second time because there's a lot going on.
It's really dense.
Yeah, but not 3, 4, 5, and 6. And she's not done. You don't think she's going to get a couple more in her by the time this year is over?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. No matter how much I love that movie, I do think... So, also, I was Jamie Lee Curtis for Halloween. That character in Everything I Wrote Once for Halloween. But I think that her and Stephanie Hsu will split the vote, because they're in the same movie. And I think that Banshees of Inisherin is a movie that everyone loves. Like, all the critics love. And it probably won't win anywhere else. So, my guess is that Kerry Condon from Banshees of Inisherin is going to win Best Supporting Actress. And it's going to be a big upset, because Angela Bassett has been winning at all the circuits. And it's kind of like, you know, it would be more of a career move for her. So, anyway, that's my prediction.
Taylor, you didn't break it down like that. Broke it down a little bit deeper.
How did you expect?
I haven't seen any of these movies.
But I'll sprinkle in some more throughout the show.
I literally have seen not a single one of the Best Picture nominees I've seen.
You with saw
the
Top Gun, right?
Top Gun is the one. The rest of them, like, if you would have gone
and
down the list.
Lethal Weapon, too.
I knew of Elvis's existence. I knew of the Fablemans' existence. The rest of, the Blue Guys in the Ocean movie.
Avatar 2, Way of Water?
That one. I knew those existed, so I would have gotten, like, is this a real movie or not? If you would have said to me, Trav, Triangle of Sadness, real or no?
That would have been a good.
No. I have no idea.
that's actually not a bad game there.
We just
make this up.
One of my favorite things ever, this was when the Milwaukee Bucks were not a particularly good team. And I remember, I wasn't even working at the station here, but I remember listening to Mason in Ireland. And John did a game that was Buck or Duck. Is this player on the Milwaukee Bucks or the Anaheim Ducks?
Ooh,
and
that's
it was
good.
Great.
That's
it
good.
It was great. And it was, you hear these names like, I have no idea. And so you can't take something like the super Eastern. Yeah. Well, I guess you kind of can, because there's Eastern Europeans in the NBA too. But it was, I'm like, I don't know. Nah, I don't know.
Ilgauskas.
It could go either way.
Ways.
But this will probably be like the March Madness thing where I know way too much about this and I'm going to get them all wrong.
Overanalyze, right? ESPN LA, don't forget, speaking of the college basketball tournament, ESPN LA has taken over Yamava Resort and Casino's latest amenity, the 909 Sports Bar, for a tournament tip-off watch party. Broadcasting live starting at 10 a.m. That's us, Slee. 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. You and me. Mason and Ireland, Sonano and Cap, March 16th. So come on out to the Yamava Resort and Casino. We got wall-to-wall LEDs, 150-plus screens, 32 craft beers. It's the perfect place to watch all of the college basketball action. Plus, we'll be giving away prizes, autographed memorabilia. Must be 21. Please gamble responsibly.
Fun day.
Should be good.
It's going to be
a fun day.
We haven't
done a remote in a long time.
We haven't done a remote in a while, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday. It's not too often where we're doing our show, and there's a packed live sports going on That will actually happen an hour before we even come on. So it's going to be great.
All right. So earlier today, Michael Lombardi, who is an NFL insider, shall we say?
Yeah, former GM.
Former GM, was on with Pat McAfee and had this to say about Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams.
Oh, Matt Stafford's fully available. For Matt Stafford, they're trying to. They would love to trade. They can't do it because he's got $57 million guaranteed.
Hold on, though.
There's a lot of.
Do we know he's playing? Do we know he's playing? We're 100% sure he's playing.
Well, he says he is playing, but but Pat, his contract, he's got $26 million of an option bonus on the third day of the league year, and he's got $31 million in paragraph five on the third day of the league year. All of that is guaranteed.
Okay, so let's simplify. The Rams, according to Michael Lombardi, would like to move on from Matthew Stafford, but it's very difficult to do because he's very expensive, right? I think this is maybe the linchpin of what we're talking about when it comes to the Rams, because it's as simple as this. I talked about this on my pod, Slee. What do the Rams want to do this year? Do they want to just basically kind of, hey, listen, we had some really bad luck talking about, you know, the breaks kind of even out. We're due to get some good ones coming back, and we'll draft accordingly. We'll maybe make some trades in free agency, but we're just going to try to be very competitive in 2023. Or if the right opportunity presents itself to move on from a big-name player. Maybe it's Matthew Stafford. Maybe it's Aaron Donald. Maybe it's Cooper. Who knows, right? Just big-name player.
Jalen Ramsey we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Wagner's already gone. Mm-hmm. It seems like Leonard Floyd is a virtual certainty to leave via cut or trade or whatever. What do they want to do? There seems to be a lot more smoke coming from that building about them wanting to kind of look to the future as opposed to try to be very good in 2023.
So I think if you'd have asked me a month ago, it sounded like things were aligning towards, all right, they're just going to kind of retool this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That there was enough stuff that went wrong last season that was out of their hands. That, okay, you're really not going to have that bad of a season again where you have this many offensive linemen go down. Stafford obviously is injured. Cooper Kupp goes down. The schedule is as difficult as it was. Are you really going to have that many things go against you? I thought the moment Sean McVay decided, hey, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Does Sean McVay, I think automatically you're saying, Sean McVay's not going to go into a rebuilding, right? Like, I'm assuming they're coming off, they won a Super Bowl, he's been to a Super Bowl, he's had so much success. Is he coming back with all the question marks that he had for a rebuild? So initially I would tell you, no, I don't think they are. How do you now not think that they're open to, I think what you just said, if things work out for us to go left, we'll go left. But if things also work out for us to go right, we're okay with going right. I guess I now would not be shocked or surprised at all that they kind of not punt on the 2023 season, but use the 2023 season to really prepare for 2024.
I think so. And I'm glad you brought up McVay because I agree with you. When Sean McVay, at the end of the season, when all the rumors started coming up about, hey, is he leaving? Is he going to go take a hiatus? Is he going to go to TV? Is he just, you know, is he burned out, right? And it seemed very, very real. I think we were all kind of on the same page. He's far more likely to leave than come back. Well, it turns out he came back. I think there is a difference here. I think there's a big difference between going into a season having really high expectations and being terrible. That's what happened to the Rams last year. The Rams were supposed to be good. The Rams were the defending Super Bowl champion, and it seemed very unlikely that they would have a bad team. They did. That's a
worst record post Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a weight that weighs on you. Like what happened? Why is that's different than going into a season thinking, looking, this may be a rough year. We're in a transition year. We're looking to 2024 and going into it knowing that, hey, we might win five or six games. Mm-hmm. It's different than thinking you're going to win 12 and you win five. It's just a different weight on your shoulders going into that. And if he's made that adjustment in his mind, I don't know if a rebuild slash look to the future isn't a more palatable thing for a year or two, knowing that it's coming. And it does feel like that's what's happened because I've heard little whispers and little rumbles from the people that I talk to in this universe that's like, look, everybody is available. And I would say, well, what about this guy? Yeah, what part of everybody don't you understand? Everybody. And it's like, nah. And then all of a sudden you start to hear all these little things, and it does feel like they're right on the tipping point of, look, if everything breaks exactly perfectly, we'll give it a shot. But the second we think that this is the better option to look to the future, we're going to do it. And moving from Matthew Stafford would certainly mean we're going in that direction.
Yeah, it seems like there's a new name every week. It seems like there's a new, instead of, you know, the Rams being aggressive about going to get guys, it's more the current players that they have, what can we get for them?
They're,
right?
They're the exact opposite of what they used to be.
And by the way, this...
It's okay.
Maybe this also just comes with the reality of the situation. We go back to this and we say, they cashed in on one. They won a freaking Super Bowl.
2 years ago.
Okay, so whatever you do moving forward, no one can really complain about. What they could do is say to themselves, all right, well, we got that Super Bowl. We thought we were going to come back and compete, and there was the cold water was poured right over our head. It's like, you don't have the depth, this and this. You're one player away from all of a sudden things kind of churning.
Winning five games.
So now they're looking to say, all right, maybe we got to work on that foundation again. We got to reset that concrete and then go from there.
What do you want, Rams fans? Do you want to, hey, let's try to run it back and hope that we have better luck? Or... hey, let's look to the future. 877-710-ESPN. Hey, did you see with Taylor coming up next? It's Travis Lee, 710-ESPN. Carlo had a night at the South Bay Lakers last night that I want to talk about in a little bit. That's pretty cool. He should have made it. But
he got the opportunity.
We'll bring Carlo in just a little bit. What do you got for us today, Taylor?
All right, guys. Did you see that students with higher levels of school spirit perform better academically, are more civically engaged, and are happier in general than their less spirited peers? So, Travis, why is your college the best school in Southern California?
Have you ever been to the campus?
I haven't, no.
So that's the answer. It is literally the campus for my alma mater, UC Santa Barbara, is on the ocean. There's not like, oh, it's close to the beach. It's on the beach. You walk out of my dorm room and you had your toes in the sand in 5 minutes.
Jeez.
Okay, it is sitting right there. It's in Santa Barbara. So that's a pretty tough putt to beat. Anyway, it's highly academic. Your academic standards are very high. So you have to compete with other very bright and ambitious young people. There is all these things. Now, when it comes to our athletics, we have teams. We have a basketball team. We have a soccer team.
Their jerseys. They have their own colors.
Our baseball team is pretty good this year. Yeah. Swept the Oregon Ducks. Beat Pepperdine the other night. Athletics, not super popular at Santa Barbara, but the location and
solid
the academics
nickname too.
Are a grit. You know how many Division I teams there are called the Gauchos?
I'm going to guess one.
One. Mm. I like that.
All right, San Diego State, here's the pitch. San Diego, California, pretty cool place. Not a bad spot. Kind of central to SD as well. So you're like 15 minutes from downtown, 15 minutes from Pacific Beach, 15 minutes from the ocean. San Diego State's a really fun school. You have more students than you possibly need. The basketball...
yeah, it's much bigger than I think people
it's
realize.
It's huge. I think they have like... at some point there was like 80 or 90,000 applicants, and they took 8,000.
Ooh, 10%.
So it is, and they're much smarter than they were when I was there.
There's some good-looking people that go there?
San Diego is a really nice place.
I mean, Alan Sliwa.
Let's keep it that way.
You'll notice I left that off my list. just saying.
Okay, on top of all that, basketball program is pretty good, and it's on campus.
Yeah.
So you can kind of enjoy that. You said it. You said it on Saturday. New football stadium needs a little work. The program needs to do a little bit better on that department. Maybe a little shade every once in a while.
It's in San Diego and you play in September.
And probably
somewhere to get out of the
sun. The best and the final pitch, there's 48 taco shops within 1 mile of campus.
Yeah. It's tough to decide between those two.
Yeah.
Can I add one thing I forgot to mention?
Let's go.
The little town directly north of campus, Isla Vista, is like 85% students, and it's its own little environment where lots of fun stuff happens, and very little things come out, very little things go out, and it's if you're anything like me, it's what you're looking for as a 19, 20-year-old.
Let's put it this way. I don't think anybody that went to Santa Barbara or San Diego State was complaining.
No, I think you're right.
Okay, guys, next up, did you see the average driver travels more than 14,000 miles per year and has just a 1% chance of getting pulled over? So, Sliwa, when's the last time that you got pulled over, and have you ever gotten out of a ticket?
I got pulled over like 6 months ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Speeding?
Yep, I deserved it.
Did he write you up?
He wrote me up. And it's kind of funny. I'm
freeway, surface streets?
Freeway, driving down to San Diego, was kind of in a hurry for something. I don't know what the hell I'm in a hurry for, but...
How fast?
Was it after the tire thing?
He clocked me 80.
Really?
80. Yeah. I was going faster, but he wrote down 80. So I got to go to traffic school for it. I got to do it by the time May.
Traffic school?
May
comes. Do that online
around.
Or what?
Yeah, do it online.
It's not so bad.
Is 80 the threshold for reckless, right?
He put me at 80. I was going fast. I was probably going 85, but he put me at 80.
He might have been done doing
it. Were you in Lady Slee's car?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. In Lady Slee's car.
That car goes 85. It feels like it's going 30.
Yeah. No idea. But here's the funny thing. When I got pulled over, I don't know how you guys are on that. I guess as I get older, I'm much less to try to maybe negotiate something. I had registration, I had my license. I'm like, my bad, man. And he went behind the car, did his thing, everything else. Have I got added tickets? I have. When I used to work at Kennedy Recreation Center, right, from 16 to 20 years old, I was working for the city. It was the city of El Cajon. The shirt we wore was the city of El Cajon shirt. So instantly they ask, where do you work? I work at this Kennedy Recreation Center, this, that. Okay, slow down. Make sure you stop at the stop sign where the kids is. And they, a couple times that happened, they let me go. Hasn't happened recently.
Should keep that shirt on.
Yeah. I know.
Still have a Kennedy shirt on walking in.
I have never gotten out of a ticket. It's been a long time since I've gotten stopped, knocking on wood right now. This may even have been the last time. I was maybe 24 or 5. I was driving from L.A. to Phoenix with my mom. We were driving. I forget why we were headed out that way, but my mom and I were making the drive from L.A. to Phoenix, and we're in the middle of nowhere, like that stretch of desert between Blythe, California, and Quartzsite, Arizona.
Nothing.
There's nothing there, right? It's like a 30-mile gap. There's nothing there. I'm driving along, and I see an Arizona state trooper, I think is what they're called there, up ahead of me. And so I'm, I don't know how fast I was going, 75, 80, something like that. But I can see him in the distance. I see the lights on the car. I'm like, okay, I'm not just going to blow by the guy at 80. So I start slowing down, and he starts slowing down. So I slow down a little more. He slows down a little more. So the next thing you know, we're going 50 on the freeway in the middle of nowhere. So I'm like, okay. So finally, I'm like, I'm going to go around this guy. And I pull out, and I get back up to speed at like 65 or 70 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
He pulls right in behind me, lights me up. And I get out of the car, and he says, why are you going so slow? I'm like, what? Why are you driving so slow? You were going 48 miles an hour on the freeway. I'm like, because you practically stopped in front of me. That's why. He's like, well, I didn't have my lights on. You should have gone right around me.
Lose
the
attitude.
I'm like, I, you're a cop. I'm not just going to race by a cop in the middle of nowhere. He goes,
why are you yelling at me?
If
what I would have said if I'm in.
If I don't have my lights on, I'm just another car on the road. And I'm looking at him like, you know, and I know what's going on here. You know I'm not coming out here to fight this. I'm in the middle of the damn desert. I'm not coming back to Arizona to
quota.
Do this.
He's trying
and
to hit
that's
his,
a buck.
So he's writing me the damn ticket, right? He has me get out of the car, the whole thing. He's writing me the damn ticket on the hood of his car.
That's a buck.
And he says to me, he goes, you ever fish? I'm like, what? Do you ever go fishing? I'm like, no, I don't fish.
Was
he goes, oh, that's
you?
Too bad because there's a great little spot right over here that when the water runs, I'm like, yeah, that's great. Can
oh
okay.
My god.
He was
I thought he was gonna do a bait joke. Like, oh, I was just baiting you.
Bored as hell. That's what he was.
Do you want to go fishing right now?
He had nothing going on.
One of the best friends?
Awful. So no. Susan, to your point, Slee, Susan is a nurse and she and you know, when she's on the road more often than not, she's coming or going to work, she's in her scrubs, she's got her IDs.
Yeah.
She has gotten out of a ticket on more
she
than
should
one
just
occasion.
Wear that to restaurants too.
I always said clip your badge to the rearview mirror. She's Jeff Gordon, basically, when she gets behind the wheel of a car.
I have gotten pulled over once. I did not get a ticket that time. I think I had expired, like, sticker. Like, you know, how you have to put the sticker on every month or
the
whatever.
The reg card?
Yeah.
Once yeah.
a year. Yeah, once
yeah,
a year.
Yeah, so I had the wrong year up or something. It fell off. I told the guy, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I think it fell off. Like, I had it before. And he saw that my registration was up today. He's like, yeah, go ahead. So I haven't had any of that issues, but I have gotten stopped. I have gotten a ticket from a camera, like a robot
oh,
camera
yeah.
or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
and DC,
that.
There's like one area where if you go over whatever, mm-hmm. and that's just straight numbers. And
yep.
I was like, okay,
you ever got
whatever.
One of those?
Yeah, I have. You try to fight it. I'm like, are you sure it was me? Sir,
there's
a
your
photo of you. smiling, trying to get by like the side.
Mission Impossible situation. Somebody had a Sliwa mask on.
Here is the funny thing is when she said about her registration, I could see her dad having all those cars there. It's like 1998 stickers. Like they, she's like, why the hell am I
one off?
Yeah, why the hell am I going to pay for this?
Why not? Dodgers and Padres. We've talked a lot about them. It's going to be a great race in the NL West. And Slee, I did a little head to head. I don't know if I'm as excited about this season as I was a couple of weeks ago. It's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.